Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane Fawcett, and alongside me is Kevin Tuck on the phone tinkin, Sarah check my Instagram wells, and Christian, I'm here. Dang it! I didn't know what to
Jane, we blew it there.
So wow, good. That was going really
Christian,
well.
Christian, what was it? This was what it was. And Christian.
I was going to say, and Christian along for the ride, Warren.
But you kind of botched it there
a little bit.
Botch
it.
Warren or Warren?
It's like a worn t-shirt, but it's spelled W-A-R-N-E. Make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not Warren. It's Warren.
Warren.
Yeah, you got it.
I feel like that happened on Ellis Island.
Like, what?
That name, like it should have, there was like something, there's so German much thing. More.
If I were to go to Germany, they'd call me Christian Varn. That's
Varn.
How. It,
Varn.
Yeah.
Varn.
So it's actually a pretty popular name out there.
Yeah.
In Germany. So
it's, I feel like it's popular here in the States too.
Yeah. To, me and my wife.
But
and,
I know people who spell it that way. They say Warnie.
Not Warnie. Do not call me that.
That's
and don't call me Chris.
I didn't call you
if you're
that.
From Switzerland, then they're Warnie. A Christian, a Warnie.
So, once again, Jane botched her intro.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
I have another time for you to do my espresso machine. I'll let you try it again.
Do people mess up your last name, Tinkin?
All the time.
How do they say it?
Tinkling.
Tienken.
Tienken.
Well, it's spelled T-I-E-N.
Tienken.
Tienken. So and I have, interesting enough, a lot of... Southeast Asian, like Hmong and Vietnamese people, they're always like, Tienke, yeah. Like, they think like there's, because the Tien, Tien is very much part of the language, so yeah.
Sometimes people say Fosse.
Fosse?
Fosse.
Wow.
Fosse, 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 Fosse.
Yeah. Like, it's Fosse, okay?
All right, well, we've got a good show for you guys today. We are going to do some sermon discussion on the He is a
Christina Word. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to get the ball moving here.
I know.
So it's rolling now.
Sorry, Warney.
So we're going to be continuing that.
Kevin, it's so good to have you back.
Thank you.
So... our discussion on the He Is series. This past week was on He Is Supernatural. We're also going to interview Layla Granada, who's our Clovis Campus Connections Director. She also does Midweek. And then I am going to share a story at some point in this podcast.
He's been talking about this story all day.
I don't want to play it up because my wife didn't find it that cool.
No, it's already been played up.
Let's do it now. I want to hear it now. I can't wait. Anymore.
Near-death experience.
I feel like we should wait until
go.
The very end so they have to listen to the whole podcast before
they might just
that
skip
is
forward
giving them
they
a lot of credit that
now.
They're going to care.
I want to hear it. Tell me.
It's
going to take me like four or five minutes.
Well, then ready, set, go.
Okay.
I mean, 4 minutes is four
Then
minutes.
Our music this week is AFI. Oh. Okay, so.
All right, got that out of the way.
Here's my story. This is the one, I've never had a near-death experience, but this was my one near-death experience, okay?
Yeah.
I was at the Shell gas station on knees and palm getting gas, okay?
Okay.
At 6:15 in the morning.
And today?
No, this was last Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Why were you up at 6:15?
I was going on vacation later that day, and so I wanted to start work early that day.
Jeez.
So I was like, I got to get gas before we get on the road.
Dedication.
So I'm there, and they had this deal where it was like, fill up X amount of gallons, and you get a free car wash, like the express car wash.
I thought you were going to just say car.
You know, this car wash. So okay. I get the... I fill it up, my whole tank's full, and I get the free car wash.
Nice.
But as I'm standing filling up my gas, I see this lady in the car wash. And if you're familiar with a car wash, there's the stop button and then there's the move forward button. Like, and so it'll tell you to move forward and then stop and you put your car in park and you're good to go. Okay.
Yeah.
You put it in neutral. Yeah. So this lady moved into the spot where it said stop. And then all of a sudden, right before the machine turned on, she just started going forward. And she didn't realize like when you're supposed to stop and when you're supposed to go forward. So she does this for a while, cannot get the machine to work. And finally she stopped and the machine turns on, but she freaks out when the machine turns on. So she flies through the front of the car wash. And so the car wash is now going and there's no car in there. And this is 6:15 in the morning and it's me, this lady, and another guy behind her. So she flies through the car wash and then I'm getting now in line to go get my car wash. But she she pulls in there before I do. So this guy goes through the car wash, works no problem, going good. Then this lady once again gets in there, car wash, sits in there, and like all of a sudden, it says pull forward, and she pulls forward, but she pulls far too forward, like pulls forward too far.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She backs up and she cannot figure it out to save her life. So the attendant at the Shell gas station comes out and he's like flustered at her. And he's like, stop here, stay here, and like, don't move. And so I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, I need to back up a little bit because right. she's going to hit me. So I back up about good 10, 15 feet, like a good chunk. And he tells her to stop. And then there's the blue rolly thing. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys with me here?
Yep. We're totally tracking.
The blue rolly thing that goes over the top of your car.
Yeah, yeah.
This shoots to the back of her car. It's now washing her car, gets to the back.
Right.
She backs up as this thing is in what? The back of her car.
Why does she back up?
I have no idea. She backs up. Years old?
It bends. It breaks a little
no.
bit. And she shoots back out of the car wash. And if I would have been in the same spot, she would have hit me. Okay?
Wow.
So I am like,
what kind of car
this lady
she
is
have?
Like cuckoo. The machine's bent a little bit. The guy's super upset. Mm-hmm. And so what she does is that it finally rolls over the top and she has enough time to zoom out. And flies through the car wash. Car is soaking wet. Doesn't get her car dry at all. So I'm like, oh gosh, glad that's over. Bum, the machine's bent a little bit, but I'll go in there and get my free car wash. The guy rolls down my, I roll down my window and I say, is everything good? And he's like, should be good. It's fine. It works great. I don't know. I was like, what's up with that lady? And he's like, she was here at like 2:30 a.m. last night, bought some booze. And I think she's just still really drunk. And I'm like, no way. So like,
probably 1:30 because you can't buy it.
Yeah, 1:30, whatever that time.
Sorry, I didn't know that. Kind of,
how do you know that, Kevin?
I have been at an AM PM at 2:30,
and you cannot buy alcohol.
Sir, you cannot buy your sixth bottle of Scope tonight.
Oh,
the bread is so nasty.
All right, so you'd think the story's over there, right?
Yeah.
But it's not over. Okay, so I have a truck, and if you're familiar with truck beds, and if you have a truck bed and you want to extend your truck bed, they sell these little crates, like little grates that you can extend your bed so it gets longer.
Right.
Does this make sense to you
yeah.
guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's this black, almost plastic grate that makes my thing longer, and I my truck bed longer.
Very good.
And so this thing, every time I get into the car wash, I always fold this thing out so my whole truck bed, all the water will rush out of the back and the whole thing will get cleaned.
Right.
You guys with me?
Right, yeah. Right.
So I do this before I get in the wash, lower it down, pull into the car wash. Okay. Right. Everything's normal.
Is the lady still in the car wash?
She's long gone.
Okay.
So I get in the car wash and my truck is extended a little bit. I've gone into the car wash thousands of times, never have had a problem with my truck bed extended.
Yeah.
So I'm in there, car wash is going normal, blue things going over the front of my car, washing the top of my car, now washing the back. It's all good. And the little blue thing that washes the top of the car is now all the way in the back, washing the back of my car. And I'm sitting there listening to a podcast, just hanging out. And all of a sudden I hear this like, clink, clink. And I'm like, what is that? And I look back and I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden I just hear this like almost like a pin just like bing 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 bing, you know, like hitting back and forth. And I look back and the blue thing, the blue rolly thing, has picked up my black crate out of my truck because she had bent the machine.
Right.
So it's off now. It has now picked up this crate and it is literally tumbling over the top of my car. It is hitting the back of my car. It comes onto my roof, hits my roof, dents it, scrapes some paint off. And all of this is happening and it stops and it falls onto the hood of my car. So this black crate has now fallen onto the hood of my car and the blue thing goes forward. It goes back once, forward once, and then washes all the soap off. So it is about to come back up and over my car. And this black grate is about 3 seconds away from smashing into my window.
Right.
And I'm either going to get drowned by the water. My car is going to get ruined. This thing is going to hit my neck. The glass is going to kill me or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can't get out on my left side of the driver's seat because the blue thing has already started to go to the side. So if I open my door, the blue thing on the side is already there.
The blue thing of death.
The blue, like, squeegee thing. Yeah. The other side has now passed, and I can get out the other side.
No.
And so I have to think in about 2 seconds. No. So I'm like, okay. So I hop over the next
seat,
get out of the other seat. While the machine's going, I'm getting drenched now. I take this grate, and in a matter of a split second, I huck it out of the front of the car wash. I get back in the driver's or the passenger seat, and I'm literally drenched in soapy, waxy water. And I'm like... and there's this grate 10 feet in front of me that was in the back of my car 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And barely escape this thing, taking my door off that I just opened and taking my windshield out. And I drive out and I can't get my car dry because the grate is right where the dryer thing is. So I don't want to run over it. So I have to get out again. And I'm now getting dried by the dryer.
That's good. That's
And literally, I pulled into the parking spot, and I've never taken deeper breaths in my entire life. I'm alive. And keep in mind, this is 6:20 in the morning.
Right.
This is the greatest wake-up call I've ever gotten in my life.
That's
and I just
amazing.
Freaked out and drove to office. And I was like, no. I need to tell this story to somebody. Nobody's there. And so I just sat there in
it's
misery.
It's 6:20 in the morning.
I know. That is my story that I've wanted to share for literally a week now. So thank you guys for letting me share.
Absolutely. Well, stay tuned for the interview right after this.
And Joshua went to him and said this. This is a great question. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Don't we ask that question of Jesus a lot? Don't we ask that question, Jesus, are you for us here or are you against me? Jesus, are you my pal here? Can I use you? Are you against me? Are you going to judge me? Are you in a sense on your cloud up there in heaven getting ready to strike me with a lightning bolt? We operate out of that kind of question all the time. Yet the response that this man, that the pre-incarnate Christ is going to give, is fascinating. Literally, the word, the question there is, friend or foe? He's surprised. He sees a man with a sword, and he goes, friend or foe? Look at Jesus' response. And he said, no. I love that. Because like you, I remember reading this for the first time, and as I've dove in it here over the last couple weeks, I remember thinking this, what? I mean, this is Israelites. This is God's people coming into the land that is rightly theirs, finally being commissioned to take over. And Joshua goes, friend or foe? Jesus says, no. I'm not your friend. I'm not your enemy. Why? I'm something much more, is the idea he's trying to get into Joshua's head.
That is a clip from Jared's sermon this past week in the new series, He Is, and this past week was on He Is Supernatural Supernatural, and I'll get into who taught at what campus and whatnot, but what messages did we hear?
I heard Jordan and the PM at North.
Jordan and the PM at North, same with you, Kevin. And
Deeper
and
Sloop.
Same with me.
Oh, you saw
Deeper
PM at North
slow.
As well. So I'm the only one that heard Jared's message.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so maybe you guys, since you guys all heard a very similar message and I heard Jared's, what was Jordan's kind of main point? What was he trying to get across? Jordan DePursuit, who is our North Campus PM, campus pastor.
Well, he hit some points throughout like different stories of the Bible, Joshua being one of them.
Of Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus showing up in the Old Testament before he was Jesus himself born in Bethlehem.
Yeah. Sorry, go.
To piggyback on what Jared just said, because he did the same thing. It was interesting. It was very, very similar pacing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like, look, I'm not on your side. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be on my side?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of deal. That's me. That's my impression of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was kind of the deal. That felt like what it was.
Jordan went through Joshua passage as well.
Yeah.
And kind of the main point is to highlight, look, Jesus as a pre-incarnate Christ showed up at different times in the Old Testament, and they camped on the Joshua story.
Yeah.
Just where basically Joshua's like, he's freaked out. There's this guy standing there with a sword. Word on the street is Jordan brought a sword.
Schultz brought a sword.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically to show like how scary it would be if this guy's standing there with this huge sword. And he's like, are you a friend or foe? And he's like, no, yeah. I'm not. And so then the whole message kind of launches into, why does he say no? Yeah. Is that similar to what Jordan went through?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Jordan really focused on the no as much, though.
Yeah.
Do you? I think a lot of Jordan's focus was, this is a pre-incarnate. This is like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had that outline at the end of like, you're given an impossible task, yep, but then there's an extraordinary promise. Mm-hmm. You're given clear instructions. You are faithfully obedient, and the victory is already won.
Hmm. And he also, at the last one, he tagged on, and the Lord is with us.
And the Lord is with us, yeah.
Yeah.
So his was about obedience almost.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And he was saying that's the only part that we play in it is the faithful obedience.
Yeah.
That everything else is up to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jared's message, there was some of that in there, but really the big thing it was is like, why don't we fall at our knees to Jesus?
Hmm.
And why don't we, like, when Jesus does something in our life, or when something happens, we don't ever thank Jesus. We just think it's some like random circumstance, or we only use Jesus when we need him, when like, oh, I need to pass this test, or, oh, I need to, I'm getting married, so thanks for my wife, Jesus, or I need to be a good husband. But we never like fall at our knees daily for Christ like Joshua does towards the end of that story. You know what I mean? And so definitely two different messages, two different points, but I'd like to hit on the obedience thing because my wife went to the 5 o'clock and she really liked it.
There. Mm-hmm.
And we don't go to church together. It's like, we don't like to be seen in public with one another.
So. Whatever.
Right. I can understand her side on that.
Yeah.
Sure. So like, maybe hit on the obedience part a little bit more. Sarah,
I was more thinking about what you were saying about like, because I didn't hear Jared's message, but like how for me, like I'll be praying for something, and then if it happens, I like forget to give all the credit to the Lord. But if it doesn't happen, I'm like, gosh, okay, I guess I'll keep praying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when it does happen, I just forget. And I don't give.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, like he obviously did that, or he, anything good, anything in life is because of the Lord. And I rarely give credit where credit is due.
So that whole like anything in life is we need to give credit to Jesus. Like that is the point of Jared's message sort of at the end. It's like, look, he showed up as a pre-incarnate Christ to show Joshua like, look, things are going to be all right. I have taken you through all of this. Like, I am not your friend or your foe.
Telling him you're already going to win.
Yeah, I am God. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Be obedient.
Sure.
And when it happens, like, are you going to thank me? Or are you just going to keep thinking like, I'm the leader. I'm Joshua. I did this myself type of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We had kind of a cool experience. Well, cool, maybe using loose-handed, but just some like seeing things going on at the North Campus where it's like, okay, how am I going to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to get my team to do this and whatever? And Cam and I were talking, and Cam brought up a cool point of like, okay, this is weird, right? We're like talking about the fact that Jesus is supernatural, but we're not asking him to help us in these situations.
Right.
In some situations, like these situations are out of our control in some sense, like kind of crazy. So it was just a cool reminder of like, are we covering our services in prayer? If not, why? Are we making our services run on our own? And if so, like, it's not going to work.
Totally. You know? Yeah. I mean, I think that that's even a broader topic in general. I mean, I think that's been the biggest growth period for me in my job mm-hmm. over the last year mm-hmm. in that, like, when I came into the junior high group, I experienced a kind of an insane amount of success that one who is prideful, myself, maybe, could think that's all me. I did that. Yeah. It's I am the one that grew the junior high group. Mm-hmm. And what God has really been refining me in is it's like, look, it's been me all along and I have used you right. to grow whatever ministry I want mm-hmm. to. And I will use you through the hard times of this ministry as well. And I'm trying to realize that like sometimes my pride can get in the way and I think, oh, I did this yeah. instead of falling at my knees for Christ. Mm-hmm. You know what
I've mean? Had the same experience just transferring over to Connections where coming from like an admin role, that's easy for me. Like mm-hmm. I just do what my boss says and hope I'm doing it right. And
right.
now coming into a Connections role where there's so much interaction with people and people asking crazy questions, or I respond to any female who's attends the North Campus who wants to start a relationship with Christ. And like, yeah, I know the gospel, but going into it, like, that's such a heavy thing to talk to somebody about, because I mean, that's their future as a Christian, you know, and not that that responsibility is mine. It's definitely the Lord's to open their heart, but going into that, just, I mean, I've prayed more starting this job than I feel like I ever have, thinking, Lord, like, use me. Don't let it be my words. Let me trust you. Let me say the words that you have for this lady to hear. And like really pouring into his supernatural power being used through me mm-hmm. to hopefully open the ears of this person. It's been a humbling experience for sure.
Totally. And that's like such a good example of that whole outline. Like you're given an impossible task mm-hmm. of telling someone about Christ and letting them understand it.
Yeah.
But there's an extraordinary promise of he will do it for you. Mm-hmm. You've given clear instructions. You're being faithfully obedient. The victory's already been won and the Lord is with you.
For sure.
Look at that. We have the like a real circle.
Now did Jordan,
real example.
Now did Jordan use PowerPoint?
Yeah.
He really did. Wanted to, and it was like a big debate.
Really? But yeah, he called Brad and asked him if he could.
Yeah, because it's we don't normally use Keynote because we have video, and it's tough to do video and Keynote all together, but it worked well.
Yeah.
I really like it because I'm visual and I work well in bullets. And
right.
so the fact that he had bullets, I
now
understood
did
it so
he
well.
Push the button or did somebody in the back
yeah,
push the
he
button?
Had a remote.
He did.
Nice.
Yeah, in his hand.
I liked it a lot.
That's good. Kevin, as a dad, you're a father, correct?
Yes. Today's my son's fourth birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy what? Birthday, Will.
You Why don't you bring him in here?
Oh, my God.
Well, he's at home playing with his trucks. He's got a lot of trucks. We had a construction party this morning at 9 in the morning.
Oh,
at
yeah.
9 in the morning?
Well, it should have been like authentic construction party and
know,
like woken
right?
up at 5:30.
Yeah.
And done woken it then. Up the rest of the neighborhood.
We're pouring cement today, Will.
He was the cutest to me a couple weeks ago. He was telling me about his tractors and then mm-hmm. he came up and he was rubbing my shoulder and I was wearing a blue dress and he was rubbing my sleeve and he goes, "This is yellow."
did you tell him what he said about Father's Day?
Oh, we said, "Will, what are you going to do for your dad for Father's Day?" I think I'll tell him he's handsome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He wrote me a really nice card.
Oh, he's
where Jenny
the sweetest.
Just took quotes and put them on there. But anyway,
sorry,
not to sidetrack.
So
I could talk about Will all day long.
As a father,
yeah. The best.
This is another question I kind of wanted to ask with the whole series, like. Does how do you explain to a kid, and I know he's obviously young or whatever, mm-hmm. but at such a early age, you send your kids to church and Kids Connection and they really learn these stories about Jesus. And one of the things is that over time, they only see Jesus as this guy in the New Testament because they've heard these stories for so mm-hmm. many years. And so you get a kid who's now junior high school, it starts to go, wait a second, I didn't know this. So how yeah. do you make the correlation as a dad to show that like, these like this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that's told all the time. Like mm-hmm. us going like, that is Jesus in the fire. You know what right. I mean? How do you explain that to a kid? You know what I mean? Because Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong, Jared did this, but he went through probably 6 or 7 different appearances of Christ in the Old Testament, right?
Right. I think, I mean, for a four-year-old, the concept's too great.
Right.
At this point, I think what I try to focus on is actions and how what Christ taught and, you know, what the Bible says we should do. Like, how does that play out when he's pushing his sister? Mm. You know, so our family verse or whatever is holy moly.
Oh, that
I
one.
I forgot.
I can't remember the verse. I've just blanked.
Oh, shoot.
That's all right.
But it's consider others more as more important than yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Philippians 2.
Thank you. It's the entire Philippians 2. And we did that. Actually, Dave Johnson, who's at Master Control, we're in a small group and we memorized the whole thing. And I've got some of it still in my brain. I always try to talk to Will about that and stuff. And so I think as he gets older, you know, when we talk about it, he'll, you know, say, you know, this happened or whatever. So that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But my concern when I think what I plan on doing is being just completely transparent with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I transitioned from, well, basically from Northwest Church to The Well,
mm-hmm.
When I transitioned from high school to college, I remember I got baptized freshman year of college and we were still at Northwest. And one of the things that I had said in my baptism speech or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Was that, you know, I was so grateful for the people that were in my life at that point in college and things like that, because we learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in high school, so much of what I learned is what being a Christian meant was what not to do. Mm. And it wasn't like, you know, like slap your hand, like you can't
no, I understand
do
that.
But it was keeping us out of trouble. So when I think about raising my son, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be like, hey, this is what's going on, you know, and whatnot. You know, this is the way it is, and try to be transparent so that when he learns something new or like, oh yeah, that was Jesus in the fire, that
right.
it's not like, what? Dad didn't ever say anything like that. I could just be like,
right.
This is what the Bible says. Boom. You know, here it is.
And I think people like kids grow up, and this series I've had numerous conversations because of teaching and now talking with junior hires or high schoolers who were there the very first week who listened, and their minds are kind of like, I've never been taught that before. I did not know that there was a correlation between the two. And so what I'm starting to realize is like, there's something, people are missing something where they're not getting this biblical truth. And so this series, although not like a wildly, like, this is not a series that happens all the time. Like, I feel like we mention the type of stuff in this a lot, you know, but I don't know if kids or students or even adults, I don't necessarily know if they see the correlation between the two, that Jesus has kind of like been around since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared in different instances throughout the Old Testament. And really, like, they're not two separate books. It's all kind of in the same Bible.
Yeah.
And so I don't know when you start telling kids that, but I wonder, like, where's the ball being dropped? You know what I mean?
I don't think the ball's really being dropped. I think what happens is, well, maybe the ball's being dropped. It's just, I think people have a hard time with being concrete about thing that is Jesus in the fire right. or whatever. Because I mean, maybe just, that's just not something that's ever really talked about. Like,
yeah.
you know, it makes sense. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, because the Spirit you can't see and the Father you can't see. And so the Son would have to, yeah, okay. Yeah, it must be Jesus.
Do you remember when you were first told that? Like, did you grow up knowing that? Or
I never was told that.
I was never told. I mean, I think I learned
that's
that just
saying.
Like a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, so
saying,
why
like,
not?
Why, if you grew up in the church,
mm-hmm.
I grew up from essentially like sixth grade on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, why were we never taught these simple things? Whereas I grew up my whole life thinking that the Old Testament was lame. Like,
yeah,
it has
yeah.
nothing to do with anything. And I'm starting to realize as now we're in week 2 and Jordan and Jared talk or whatever, I'm all of a sudden going like, this is stuff that like kids need to be taught in a, like, I would rather my kid, and I'm not in charge of anything, but it's like, I'd rather my kid learn these big concepts that really shape your theology over like the story of Jesus and healing the blind man. You know what I mean? Right. Because if we don't understand who Jesus is from the beginning, then it really can mess with our theology in the future.
It's like I knew that like last week how Jesus was from the beginning. I knew that, but the idea of him being the angel that appeared in that sense, I didn't know. But I think we just need to be careful because I don't think a lot of people buy into that yet.
Right.
There's two different camps, and I think we're one of them that believe that that was Jesus, but there are some people that don't believe that.
Yeah. Totally. They'll say the angel of the Lord is some other angel or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But do you see how that can screw with people's theology? Mm-hmm. And it's like next week we're talking about the promise of salvation in Genesis 3 and how everybody since the very first sin is able to have salvation through Christ. And it can totally screw with your theology if you don't understand that. But it's like lots of people don't understand it. You know what I mean? And lots of people
that's
don't.
That's why we explain it now.
And in like when I learned that Jesus was in Genesis 3 and talked about it, like I used to think like Old Testament meant God was wrathful and God is angry and God is this. And then the New Testament is kind of like warm and fuzzy. Like, oh, this is when Jesus came and he healed and but then when I realized Jesus was even throughout the Old Testament, it made it like you were saying, like way less, they weren't two separate books. Yeah. Like it made, like it wasn't two gods, not two Jesuses. It's all one thing. And it really, my brain really exploded.
When you talk about this concept of warm and fuzzy and wrathful and all the above, like that's why we're doing the lion and the lamb thing, because we're showing the correlation between the two. Mm-hmm. And he's the same Jesus that's the lion and the lamb. Mm-hmm. He is warm and fuzzy and he's used in that picture of a lamb, but he's also a lion. You know what I mean? And so showing the correlation between the two. I was just asking something that I've been wrestling with just in talking with students. And I'm like, wow, like, I guess that's my job to teach you that stuff, but I'm shocked that you don't know that.
I think my golden thread, if you will, that like will sew through the entire relationship with my son. And I hopefully this is a good one and I won't change it or whatever, but authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, just complete, and not even authenticity, just transparency, you know, because I'm obviously going to be authentic. You know, he's going to wake me up at 6 a.m. I'm going to be in my underwear. I got to be authentic. I have no other choice. It's just
I sleep fully clothed.
Do you?
Sweatpants, sweatshirt, beanie, turtleneck, gloves.
So modest.
Tennis shoes.
How uncomfortable.
No, like I
shower with a bathing suit.
I think when it comes to my kids, this is my opinion, so let me just preface that. Parents try to shelter their kids so much, and I understand it, and I have a tendency to want to shelter my kid from stuff because the world is crazy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think transparency and being authentic and stuff with your children and understanding that I'm just – like that I'm another human being and that, you know, the Bible has these things and they're exactly this way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sell my kids a bag of false goods or whatever.
Totally.
And they look in the bag and like, they said that this was supposed to be just Bible the Builder stuff in here. And there's actually, there's some other stuff in here. Like, I'm sorry. The analogy was going to be funny at one point. I don't know. I just... I think it'll go hand in hand with that stuff. So I can just be like, hey, you know, when we go through that, you know, because he's going to talk to me about it probably this week because we did it, he went to Sunday school. I'll just be like, we think that was probably Jesus right there. You know, he's not going to get it, but it's there, you know.
Yeah.
And he'll remember stuff, even though he won't get it, he'll remember it. And then later on when he can understand it, be like, that's what dad meant.
Right. I felt like growing up, a lot of that stuff was just kind of glazed over, you know, especially with like predisposition and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't get any of that until after high school. And I was really into it in high school. So
predestination.
Yeah. Predestination. What did I say?
Predisposition.
And I was like, whoa, what is that, man? That is not theological.
Yeah. Sorry. There you go.
No, Kevin, it totally makes sense. I wanted to get your perspective on it. And I just, you know, as we're entering into the series, these are the questions I'm wrestling with. So I appreciate you.
Considering you're the only father. So you're the only one who can speak into that.
I just got somebody pregnant, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to figure it out.
All right, we'll end there. And
that's not true. Wife. Okay, there we go.
Be my wife.
And so up next, we're going to interview Layla Granada. Enjoy some more AFI. Thanks, Kevin.
This is what I brought you, this you can keep. This is what I brought you, may forget me. I promise to depart, just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep. This is what I brought you, this you can keep. This is what I brought you, may forget me. I promise you my heart, just promise to sing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep. This is what I thought you need me. This is what I thought, so think me naive. I promise you a heart you promised to keep. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.
All right, we are back and we are here with Layla Granada, our...
Hey, Dan. Give yourself a whoop whoop. All right.
Nice. Our Clovis campus / midweek. We can put that in your job title. Yeah. Connections director, right?
Clovis, whoop whoop. And yeah. So, midweek, what?
Layla, before we get into you and who you are, yeah. Maybe tell us kind of a bit about your job description. We've had some connections people in here, but you do midweek and Clovis, right?
I do. Yeah, I do both. I started out with Clovis and just pretty much I help with ministry teams, help meeting new visitors, moving guests to family. So just stuff like that. So now I've taken over and I do midweek as well. Same thing there.
Discovery.
Work
across the wall from yours truly.
Yes.
Yeah, Layla, you, now this is a, this is the first time you're on the Spout, okay?
It is.
And have you ever listened to the Spout before?
I do, yes. I was doing my research.
You've listened to one episode.
Well, no, I started when you guys started, and I listened to the first couple, but, you know,
sorry.
Kind of fall off the bandwagon. We've gotten so much better.
Layla and I call each other John.
Jen.
It just happened one day.
Jen?
Why John?
Well, one day she was like, hey, Jane. And I was like, did you just call me John? She's like, yeah. No.
It was an accent.
So then we just call each other John. Hey, John.
Now, when Layla came in here, she sat down and then Kevin sat down right next to her. And Layla and Kevin have never met before. And I wish you could see what happened. You don't want me to share this? So Layla sits down and Kevin then sits down couple seconds after, and Layla says hi, puts her hand out to shake Kevin's hand, and Kevin is looking right at her, puts his hand out to shake, and as they connect hands, Kevin turns away and starts talking to Sarah and then shakes her hand, but like doesn't even acknowledge Layla as a human being. More
just
seems
like they had met before, and it was just like going through the formality of saying hello.
Then I asked Layla, like, have you guys ever met? And she's like, no, I don't believe we've ever met. And Kevin and I was like, what the heck?
I don't believe we've ever met before.
Am I exaggerating that story?
Previous occasion.
Kevin?
No, she wasn't wearing her burqa, you know. I didn't.
What?
I'm sorry, because I typically
what's a burqa?
Yeah.
Burqa's what the women wear in Pakistan that cover their entire
body. Oh my gosh. We've been there, done that, okay?
All right, I'm just saying.
Did you see the head covering?
Yeah.
Talk
to the hand.
Now, Layla,
I haven't seen that in so long.
I'm sorry. It was bad.
It's okay.
It's bad form, dude.
Layla, wipe your tears.
I'm bad.
I know, gosh.
Now, Layla, are you a little nervous to be on here? Or?
I'm nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why so?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Do you feel like that we're going to ask you some crazy questions? Or?
Maybe.
Yes, okay. We will.
Well, part
yeah,
of this.
That's Sarah.
I'm going to ask you what you think about The Bachelorette.
Oh, Sarah.
Now, I'm going to ask you what it's like sitting next to me all day.
It's fabulous.
Now, we can ask you that. What is it like sitting next to Jane?
You know
all day?
What? Jane is a great cube partner to sit next to.
Keep talking.
She smells nice.
Thank you.
She
wears Michael Kors perfume. That's why.
Oh, that's why.
Michael? A guy?
You should give it
Michael
back. Kors. He's going to get angry.
Michael Kors is a really great designer, and he makes very good smelling perfume. It smells like gardenias.
And I went to high school with a guy named Michael Kors.
Apparently, Michael Kors is a chemist and mixes chemicals to make good smelling perfume.
I only know one person that doesn't like the way I smell.
Who's that?
Christian Warren.
You don't like the way she
kidding.
Smells?
I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding. Sarah doesn't like the way you smell?
This person shall be remain nameless.
Shall be remain.
So Layla, one thing that we like to do on the spot is just to get to know people a little bit differently than they would maybe on a Sunday. Okay. Yes. And Layla, you have a couple quirks about you. Would you say? No. Would you say you're a quirky person?
Sure. I'll go with that.
Okay. So one of the quirks you have is that you do not like using metal silverware. Is this correct?
That was coming.
Yes. Listen, it's not the metal silverware. It's just the Welly Deli silverware.
I will eat on metal silverware at a restaurant.
Okay.
And at her own home.
And at my own home. And at friends' homes, but not in the Welly Deli.
Friends'.
Because... So you only will use plastic silverware in the Welly Deli.
In the Welly Deli.
Okay.
Yes.
And paper plates, not regular plates.
Well, because we don't clean things very well.
Not everyone. There's a few specific people that will be...
Shall remain nameless. No, Layla, I totally back you up on this. I've seen it too. It's gross.
Yeah, people will dip their knife into... let's say a peanut butter jar.
Okay.
And lick it.
And lick it. Dip it into a jelly jar.
And lick it again. Lick it.
And then dip it into a hummus container.
And lick it again.
And then stick it in their armpit.
And then they'll wash it off and then put it in the drawer.
But they don't wash it. They rinse it.
They rinse it.
So if you wash it with soap, they don't soap it and they don't dish it.
And these kind of things bother you.
It bothers me.
All right, fair enough.
Do these people have like conjunctivitis or anything? Like, are they just?
I don't know.
See, if I don't see it happen, then it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
So I'll use the metal stuff.
Baby, I'm lucky one.
And I won't think about all the germs on it because I didn't see it happen. So it's like they might as well be brand new to me.
Yeah, you're lucky.
So you're married, Layla.
I'm married.
And what's your husband's name?
TJ.
And how does TJ? Are you a germaphobe at home or?
He was a visitor of the Welly Deli today and he outed me that I'm an expiration date freak.
What does that mean?
Well, if anything is close to the expiration date, I will like keep my eye on it. And as soon as it hits the date, I throw it away.
But now wait a second.
Are you able to look away?
Not that. I just emptied our glass.
What's the difference between a sell by date and an expiration date?
Well, sell by date, I understand that it just has to leave the store. So I give it a good few days, after that. And then it's a goner.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm quirky.
What are you going to say, Kevin?
Nothing. It's good. So,
there are some foods that I found that last far beyond their expiration dates.
Organic milk. It'll last a month.
Oh.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Hummus.
What were you going to say, Kevin?
Hummus.
Oh, I was just going to say we should find out what makes you you.
Yeah. Let's get down to the bottom of who you are. Go for it, Kevin.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's the question right there.
Layla, where are you from?
What are your quirks? What are people... Okay, so this is obviously the weird stuff.
Yeah, that's the weird... Yeah. It's so as weird as I get.
What brings a smile to your face?
Oh, gosh. A lot of things. I like a good joke.
Okay.
A fart joke? We can give you those.
Because Kevin's got some good fart jokes.
I like those. I like, boy jokes.
Tell the cutting pants.
That was a good one. I'll tell it.
Okay.
Do you know it?
Yep, got a minute. Need a minute.
All right, keep going. Yeah, keep going.
So you like jokes?
I like jokes. I like funny movies.
Okay.
Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy. Oh, I like those. Good. Mm-hmm. I like walks on the beach.
Oh yeah.
Sunset.
What's your zodiac sign? Yeah.
Hey Layla, what cuts through your pants without leaving a hole? Layla brings out my Energizer a lot.
Oh.
So are you number one Energizer?
No, not at all.
What's your number
Energizer
one?
Energizer are you?
I'm 100% Harmonizer, 79% Persister, And then Energizer is my fourth one, I think. Mm. I think I'm only about 60%.
Achiever?
Achiever.
What's after Energizer?
Catalyzer.
Oh, we are almost the same, except I'm Dreamer Catalyzer.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about a personality test that we take at the well called Your Unique Design. That's all. Just want to give some context.
What? Since I transferred to the connections department, Layla and I found out that we are very similar.
Very.
Long
lost sister. Oh,
I was just going to say, do you have any, because they had mentioned The Bachelor.
Oh,
Bachelorette. Do you have some guilty pleasures that are taboo you don't want to talk about?
Bachelorette.
Bachelor and Bachelorette would be a very guilty pleasure of mine.
And me too.
The whole world knows that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it about the way? Why?
Oh, you know, it's just interesting. I'm a sucker for a good romantic story.
Yeah.
I like the psychology of it and try to figuring out why this wouldn't work or why this would work and what tactics they're using to try to win her over. Yeah.
Ooh, do you feel like, I called it a guilty pleasure, but are you guilty because there's an internal mechanism inside you that, like, let's call it the Holy Spirit, that makes you feel guilty? Or do you feel like other people are like, hey, you shouldn't watch that?
Oh,
well, Brad did plainly say from stage that he didn't think The Bachelorette was for sure. I think that's what kind of separated us.
What's your answer, Layla?
Well, when you hold a bracket of The Bachelor and Bachelorette rankings and you bet on it.
Put a little money on it.
You could be a little guilty. I'd go with saying that.
You do that?
Oh, did.
All three of us did it.
This is past
Wait
lives.
A second. Okay.
It's before we were believers.
What did this look like?
A long time ago.
What did that look like?
It was awesome.
It was so fun.
Tell me. Come on.
Oh, well, it was a group of people got together in a living room. Uh-huh. And
living room shall remain nameless.
Yes. And we had a paper bracket that had empty slots, and you got to look at pictures of all the contestants.
Oh, my gosh.
And you got to choose just like good old basketball March Madness.
Yeah, you read their bio online.
Yeah.
So and before the first episode.
And we got to watch the introductions, right?
That was second season.
Yeah. We had it for a couple seasons.
Wow. So it's like fantasy football for The Bachelor.
It was really fun.
We had dinner before.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It made it like 10 times better because there was competition.
So now you've just changed the labels on the brackets to say what's going to be the favorite Bible verse for the night?
Yes.
And each character on The Bachelorette has their name is attached to a certain Bible verse. Yeah. Like if your name's Philip, then it's like Philippians. Mark, Mark 1 is Mark on the show.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. We don't do it anymore, unfortunately. No.
The guilt.
We still have the social stuff, right? We did, Jane.
Thanks.
I mean, we had t-shirts Jane, and like thanks. Secret handshakes and stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Sarah got a tattoo.
That's amazing. See,
I did.
Like, that kind of stuff is great. Like, I used to watch Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good show.
Go to a Survivor party. Cleaner. Well, let me just say, like, I don't want to just set you guys up and then slap you down, but I hate Survivor. Like, I hate it. I hated it when I watched it, but because we had the parties and people are like, yeah, we're going to be drinking out of coconuts. And there's going to be like some masks and stuff or just random things from the show. I was like, I have to be there every week. And it was awesome. So I don't know, like things
that's
like funny. That. That's fun.
But we still did have fun. We had a lot of fun.
You still get together with those same group of girls?
Sometimes.
Oh, there were guys involved too.
Very much.
Co-ed.
Oh, yeah. Really? This was like a very good group of people.
It's like husband and wives coming together. Really? Yeah. Betting against each other.
Our first year that finished. A guy won.
Yes.
That makes
sense.
He
will remain nameless.
Yeah.
The one who remained no named. Yes. Well, that's good. So, so no babies?
No babies.
No babies?
Maybe in your cars.
Except my husband likes to tell people that we will be starting to try this summer when we haven't talked about it. So who knows? He may surprise me.
Like you were kind of like off in the distance. We were walking out to the ocean this past week.
Yes.
Because we went out to Morro Bay.
Sounds pretty romantic.
How deep did you guys get before you turned around?
And it's like Brian and TJ and Andrew. And I thought Brian said, like, so, you know, you guys talking about kids or whatever, and he said the same thing, like, yeah, I think about maybe summer or...
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
You know, there's a great story that you have shared with me about you and your husband. What is your guys's... You guys have been married for 2.5 years now?
Yes.
You guys have a Christmas tradition, right?
Oh, yes.
A Christmas family tradition.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So maybe explain what this tradition is.
Yeah, okay. So every Christmas, this started with him and his mom at home. Every Christmas, they go down to Save Mart, and this has been passed down to now him and I. We go down to Save Mart. We pick out a beautiful Christmas tree, and he has a 96.
Save Mart, classy.
It's really classy. But you know what? We upgraded to the $39.99. We're not doing $19.99 anymore.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's classy.
Breaking the budget.
Set that money aside.
Yeah. Take that, Dave Ramsey.
And he has a 96 Toyota Corolla. And what
name
we do...
drop, hello. I mean, all right, fair enough. Yeah, make me feel poor over
it's
here.
It's nice. And we get a tree, pick out the nicest one, throw it on the roof of the car, and roll down both windows, and we stick out one arm, grab a branch, and we see how fast we can drive home.
That is awesome.
There's now, no ropes. There's like no tie downs.
Okay, but the time, it's not based on time to get home. It's based on the mile per hour that you get up to, correct?
Yeah, speed limit. Last year, we hit a record 45 miles an hour going down Willow.
Okay, how do you know, like, did the tree fall off and then you couldn't go any
or
higher?
Or
did
you just start
like,
saying, abort,
you're
abort!
You're like, oh gosh, we're losing it.
Yeah.
I feel like... I want to marry this guy. That's pretty cool.
The tree like completely catches air.
Yeah.
And it's lifting off the roof of the car. And then we realize we're about ready to lose it. So we slow down.
Now, do cars behind you, do they just slow back?
Probably.
You're going to like go 1 year. And
I've been
gonna,
too
like,
scared to look
into it.
Yeah. It's cold. We bundle up. We go all out. Yeah.
One
pictures. One gloves.
Oh, you're allowed a glove.
Muffs. Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't do it, but I do.
He's a real man.
He is.
Now, we're going to get TJ on the show,
man.
I believe, next week.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to chat with him.
He's
really into cars, correct?
He is, yes.
Now, are you into cars, Layla, or no?
I never was before him.
Okay.
Being his wife, I've chosen to appreciate them as well. So I help him with his hobby.
Did he like cars too?
The movie stunk.
Has he been to Cars Land yet?
No, I saw it on Instagram. No.
I want to go real bad.
It looks cute. Yeah.
So he is into like more like hot rods,
hot
right?
Rods,
he
yeah.
told me today he's into like anything before 1945, correct?
Yeah, that's like his specific like area that he likes the best. But he really is, he likes a lot of
So as
stuff.
A wife,
yes.
Okay, and I'm asking this seriously.
Okay.
How do you all of a sudden just start getting into something that you're not into? Are you faking it or is it more like I take an interest because he loves it?
Yeah, it's I see his passion. I see how much he loves it, and I want to support him with what he does. So I don't love it as much as he loves it, but it's fun to see him excited over it. So, and he needs my help.
What if he was really into like dog fighting?
Yeah.
Just whatever makes fighting. You happy, baby.
That'd you learn good. To
there
love
would
it.
Be a moral That's issue good. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bible, they don't have souls, dogs, you know?
Well, dogs go to heaven.
I would disagree, man.
Animal cruelty. Cat.
I love that I said that as a joke and everybody's
and
like,
everybody
dude.
Like mad mugged
hey, bro,
you.
Seriously, bro? You didn't see all dogs go to heaven?
Now, for those who come to church on a Sunday or on a Wednesday and they've never met you before, you're typically there like, available to chat with people, help them connect to church, and or to basically to get plugged in any way, shape, or form, right?
Totally, yeah.
And so where could people find you at on midweek?
Midweek, I'm up at the front by the iHub.
Okay.
Also kind of in the Cafe EDOT area. You can find me over there after services or even before service.
And then at Clovis, where are you at?
Same thing at Clovis. iHub or up... the friend of the stage after services.
She's everywhere you want to be.
Yeah.
Now, if
if
Visa. Somebody Dang wants it. To meet you and who listens to the Spoutcast, I would implore them to come up with a funny joke before they come and approach you. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, hi, Layla, I heard you on the Spoutcast, they go, hi, Layla, I have a joke for you.
Yeah, that or they can bring me coffee.
Well, yeah, one of the two. Might be weird with the coffee.
She's
but,
lactose intolerant. So.
Oh, so dump some milk in
no
there.
No milk.
Or donuts.
Sarah knows the way to my heart.
Yep, yep. We are all donut enthusiasts.
That's right.
Yes, you guys are too skinny to really love donuts.
We love the
donuts. I love myself.
You know what I'm saying? Like somebody said, I eat so many donuts.
No, you don't. I can pound a couple donuts.
This is what happens if you really love donuts.
Really, we love donuts.
I'm rubbing my gut.
KNC Donuts has the best maple bacon bar I've ever done.
Oh. Yes, maple bar with bacon on top.
Maple bacon bar?
KNC Donuts, greatest place in the world. Hey, Layla, thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
And it wasn't too bad, right?
Wait,
you're not super nervous?
No, I'm good. Right.
Let's get a proper handshake here.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm still
maintaining eye contact.
All right, Layla, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We're back. Thanks for listening to this episode, you guys. What? You guys never let me open
thanks
the segment?
For listening to this episode,
oh my gosh.
You guys.
I have to practice.
Christian the president.
Yeah, yeah.
Predisposition.
Yeah.
Remember one time Christian farted?
Yes, I do.
We're just trying to throw one under the bus. Okay. We're ending with our spout outs. And our spout out today goes to a special friend of ours named Andrew File, our executive producer, because you know what? He doesn't like the spout outs. He feels like they're exclusive and it's a special clubs. But you know what?
Welcome to the club, Andrew.
You're now in the club, Andrew, because we're spouting out to you.
So if he says he doesn't like spout outs now, then he would be basically dissing everybody else who's gotten a spout out because he's in the club.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Mm. So if you want to be rude, Andrew, and you want to be a turd, you know what? Maybe we'll go and find a new executive producer.
Back.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He's not an executive producer.
Oh, no, what is he?
He's just producer.
Oh, that's right. Because Karen Price.
Karen, who's never listened to an episode, is the executive
technically.
Producer.
Technically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Hey, welcome.
Karen is
spout,
ultimately
Kevin.
My Spoutcast boss. And if she wants me to plug something on it, I have to listen to her to play it. Because she's ultimately the one that is allowing us to do this and put it online. Makes sense?
Creative director.
Karen, if you're ever listening to this right now, I want you to randomly text all of us that you have the number of, and I want you to write duck hair. So at the moment you're listening to this right now, text message Christian Warren, just the word duck hair, the
and
two
Jane,
words.
Christian Warren.
So then we'll know that she listened?
Yes.
But what happens if she never does?
Then you'll never get a text that says duck hair. And then you'll know for sure. And it'll be like, well,
how epic would that moment be, though, if your phone lights up and it's Karen Price and it just says duck hair?
But here's the thing. Casey Jackson or somebody who listens periodically, like Jeff Richman, might tell her, hey, text them duck hair.
Jesse. Yeah. You guys, you can't tell Karen.
Yeah.
Because Karen's pretty cool.
I feel like they should tell Karen.
Get
Why? Started. We got to get listenership up around here.
Listenership.
That's right.
All right.
Ship of listeners.
Well, so Andrew has joined the Spout Out Club.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Jane, take it away.
Me?
Oh, sorry. This is a spout.
What about Dave Sather?
We're going to say, this is the spout.
And we will see Dave Sather next week.
That was really smooth.
This is the spout. You say, and we're out.
And we're out.
See you next week, Dave.
Got it.